never heard of you before. It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown preacher.
Listen up. Are you ready? Are you ready to play a role in changing the narrative for our Black and Brown communities? There is no better time than now for us to learn, change, uplift our communities, and forever improve our encounters with law enforcement. There will be two, that's right, two Know Your Rights workshops on March 15th. Both workshops are being sponsored by the one and only John Blakely of Jay Speaks. UM5O will conduct both workshops on how to safely interact with police and safely get home. Thomas Mentoring Leadership Academy is hosting the first workshop, which will be held from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. at the Durham Nativity School in Durham. This is located at 1004 North Mangum Street. The second Know Your Rights workshop will be hosted by Alexandra Valladares de Comunidad de Durham at Recity Network at 112 Broadway Street in Durham from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. You don't want to miss this. See you there.
Not what I was going to say.
You were going to tell me y'all were what, the gospel version of the Judds? Or?
No.
You know the Judds who we're talking about?
Oh, the Ashley and...
Yeah, and her mom.
And them.
Yeah, Ashley and them.
And them. Ashley. As some folks say, and them. So anyway, Muna was the yoga teacher. Mm-hmm. I don't know if she had told you about that when she was doing yoga. And at the end of each yoga class, we used to sing a song. There was a guy in the class who played the ukulele. And he said, you know what? There's it wasn't a competition like every other Friday or once a month on Friday. People would just come in and sing and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
And remember, that's how we got there. So he said, let's just practice this and let's go together. And we said, okay. We said okay to anything, just about. That was fun. Anyway, we went, and when we got there, they were telling us, listen, when you sing, just sing one song and get off, because we have to keep moving and moving and moving. So we got on and we sang the one first song. Your friend, Miss Muna, when we got up there in front of this group, she froze. Can you believe that?
I really can't believe it.
You and Kevin froze. And I mean, I didn't want to do it because I just did it to like kind of support them. And I thought it would be fun. Because at my age, people are always talking about their aches and pains and stuff like that. One thing I think is important, if you have a good young friend, you know, like I'm always around I'm always about around my granddaughters and my daughter and her friends. So I think that's one of the things that kind of kept me, you know, like in my mindset, kind of young thinking. And so we went to do this thing, and I was expecting the young people to do the work. And they're standing there looking like two frogs, looking through glass. So I just went to the front. I said, okay, we're going to sing right now. Let's just say, all right, hit it, Kevin. You know, I mean.
What song did we sing, do you remember?
No, it wasn't Best of My Me. But anyway,
I want you back.
No. We just sang the yoga song that you had made up. It was a song that Muna had. She doesn't even write songs. She just does it from the top of her head. So that's how we started the band, and we were in a band for about a year, and it was so much fun. But the thing that for me that was great is that I was in a senior citizen's home, my apartment, And I just found that senior citizens talk too much about what's going on. Like, they can't walk, they can't sneeze, they can't, you know. And I said, you know, and that just wasn't me. I was actually older than most of the people in the building, but wow, they actually thought that I was younger because I just kept moving all the time. Yeah. So I just wanted to say that.
And you spent a lot of time with us, too.
And you know what? And we entered a talent show that we did pretty well in.
Yeah.
We were favored, you know. But this woman came on singing opera, and we were like, oh, yeah, well, that's it.
That's it for us.
She won.
we're done for.
Any other questions, sir?
Well, what's the name of the group? No, you're good. What's the name of the group?
The Purple Haze.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So it was a spinoff of our last name, Haze. H-A-Y-S.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Gotcha. Yeah. So there was no drug usage. Okay, Mr. Law Enforcement. I need you to try to tap in, no. Mr. DT Po-9. No, it was a spinoff. What'd you say?
I said, I'm out of jurisdiction. I won't try to.
True. No, but it was a spinoff of our last name.
That's
and
cool.
So when we first went to, what's interesting is when we first went to the whatever the thing where we were just all of the musicians get together. At first, it was just my mother, myself, and then Kevin, who was my former yoga student and ukulele player. And there were two guys who approached us because they really liked our style and everything like that. They approached us and they joined the band. So we had a ukulele player. Oh. We had a cajon player, which added a really unique.
You don't know what a cajon is, do you?
Yeah, what's a cajon? What's a cajon? You know what a cajon is?
I don't.
Okay. It's like a
box.
Yeah, that
with
you sit
holes
on.
In it.
Yeah, yeah, you okay. sit on it, but it's like a drum that you sit on. Mm-hmm. But it's a box, yeah. So that's a cajon. So we had a cajon, a ukulele, then we had the bass. Yo, that bass was by far the best musician. Yeah, he was the Todd, we used to call him Hot Toddy. He was the one that really, like, as far as musically, rhythmatically.
Musician, just go with musician.
Musically, like, as far as, like.
Trying to be all summa cum laude, you know?
No, mommy, because there's a word for it. He was the one musically that kept the flow of all of our songs.
Yeah, he
and he was, I mean, when I tell you he was good, he was phenomenal.
That's okay. Awesome.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, I.
She's giving me the look.
I gave her the look.
She's
a hog. Sack. Okay, go ahead.
I love those answers. Let me ask you this. So, the beauty pageant, and I'm also thinking about it when you talk about Purple Haze. So, did you have an afro?
No, baby.
Mm-mm. Oh, okay. I don't know why I pictured an afro, but
I did wear an afro, but not at that time.
Okay.
I was permed to the hilt.
Got you.
Mm-hmm.
And so now the pageant, did you have to demonstrate a talent? Because you're talking about singing now. Did you have to sing or?
Excuse me, not for the Garden State, but I did do it in other pageants. Mm-hmm. And the one that I want, the Garden State, I want the bathing suit and the most congenial in that one. But when I was in other pageants, I had one bathing suit and I had a couple in talents, which I totally bombed, which I didn't care. It didn't matter.
I don't know what do you mean, though.
I sang in most of them. And
really?
Yeah. And I'm very uncomfortable with my singing.
She has a beautiful soprano voice, by the way, everyone.
I wonder why. Let's dig into the uncomfort in that. Why are you uncomfortable?
Have you heard my daughter sing?
Yeah. Uh huh.
I cannot sing like she can. It's not that I want to be like her. But I don't. I think I would have to be more studied. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
If I'm going to sing, and I, you know, some notes I have difficulty reaching. I would like to sing with greater ease. Mm-hmm. See, now you're going to make me go take some lessons.
Well, we can stay in our range too, though. Like, you know.
He said, true. Wait, you be singing?
No, not at all.
So why you say we?
What you say, Mimi?
Told me that she told me to mind my business.
Oh, that's a polite way of encouragement. Didn't Paul use we a lot?
Yes, he did. You know what? Oh, I want to ask him a question.
What are you going to say, Mimi? I'm sorry.
Yes. I just want to ask you a question about my daughter, because my daughter definitely has issues. You actually liked her from the very beginning, huh?
I did.
No, I don't think so.
In the question.
Did you really?
Oh yeah.
No, because when you sat at the table and you say, when you came to the table and you said something, I'm like, let me see what old boy is all about. He was acting all professional and stuff with his red tie. He was like, yeah, I'm a Christian rapper. I was like, what? You don't know Christian rap until you know me, brother.
Question, go ahead. I'm sorry. Yeah, I was just wondering, was she asking you a million questions?
I don't think she was. And now let me say this. God has really blessed me with discernment. And people who I put in my circle, they never let me down. They're like the best of the best. So I knew from day one, it was really no hesitation. I mean, I think like it was day two when I was asking her to be a co-host. So
that's very true.
Never mind about, am I in the circle?
So we're getting there. We are getting there.
What?
Wait a minute. Getting there.
How do you think
she's
getting there?
Okay.
Really?
I just quit you.
Oh. Well,
that was the wrong answer.
Let me rephrase that. So there's a outer perimeter, and there's, now speaking police language, and there's an inner perimeter. You're inside the outer perimeter, and as now we're, you know, cutting the... Who's laughing? Is that...
Muna.
Okay.
I'm laughing only because I'm looking at my mother's face. When you say outer perimeter.
Wow.
Alonzo, what the heck are you saying?
I thought I was the nucleus. I thought I was the mitochondria.
Yeah.
I have no doubt, but you and I, we're just here now. This is our first like real conversation.
That is true.
And so we're getting there. You got to... Even Muna, you know, she didn't like say, hey, I'm in the circle. It just happened. I mean, things are organic. We're going to get there. No doubt about it. But you know why? Because Well, Mimi, listen. Amazing people have amazing children, right?
Yes, sir.
So she's
go ahead and clean it up, unknown preacher.
No, I'm telling you, amazing people have amazing children. And so... we can't spotlight Muna without spotlighting Mom, right?
Cleaning up good. Okay. Cleaning up good. I like that.
No, this is good stuff. But I know that we always focus on that end product, like you won this pageant, but you talked about before, you didn't win, and people don't see that hard work that you're putting in beforehand. We always see the end result, right? So talk to us a little bit about some of your prep. How did you prepare for those pageants?
I really didn't. It was just it was just fun for me. I'll tell you, the hardest pageant I had to work in, where I felt really like, oh, I gotta work this one. There was one in New York. What was the name of the, it was from the something the floor finishing school. She was a very popular African-American woman. Mm-hmm. And she had this agency with all these African-American women, myself included, of course. Yes. And these were the most beautiful women I had ever seen in my life. Mm-hmm. The confidence, the bodies, the way they float. Of course, I won nothing in this one because yeah. the women, and it was like sandwiched right in the middle of all these beauty contests I had been in. Mm-hmm. That's when I really started to appreciate the beauty of being Black and, and being with sisters all the time. They were just amazing. And there really is a difference. I'm not trying to, there's just a difference. Mm-hmm. There was just a difference in the level of confidence that they exude. And it was exuding. There was no trying. It was just there. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciated that because after that, it was just a lot easier for me to go into contests. And you know, sometimes we, especially back then, we're talking years and years and years ago, Black women were not considered back then. We were colored. We were not
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was longer than that, but wow, okay.
No, but we were considered, we were not considered beautiful. They complained about the fact that our butts were so big and they were so tight and stuff like, I mean, the things that people look at now that are considered marks of beauty. And it just went in time, things change and all those things. And when I saw that, I'm like, wow, I am in the right place. You know, they can talk all they want to talk because that garbage they're talking is garbage. And that was one of the reasons I realized that sometimes we were not, you know, people wouldn't want us to get into certain competitions or events and things like that. Because by far, and this is just my opinion, mm-hmm. and I don't mean to upset anybody if someone hears it. And, you know, no disrespect intended, but to me, that's when I realized that I was in that category with the most beautiful women in the world.
Mm-hmm. You have no reason to, like, say no disrespect intended. That's the way we should feel, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad to hear that. Wow. And then describes the things that we've gained and because of people like you who opened those doors. That's why I said at the very beginning, we stand on your shoulders, man. That's amazing. Amen. And so, you know what I picture at those pageants when they interview the contestants and they're like, you know, I pray for world peace or I want a world where there's no one starving. And like, did you have a cause? Was there something that you push for, you were a champion of?
I don't even remember.
Really? Gotcha.
They did ask us in some of our, some of my contests, but I actually don't remember, you know?
Well, can I say this? Can I say this?
Here she goes again. Cut this part out. Go ahead, honey. Go ahead.
So, my mother, I can attest, my mother is extremely beautiful. She's probably the most beautiful woman that I know, honestly, and intelligent as well, but also with a beautiful heart and an anointing. And so one of the things that I would love to see her do is to be a Silver Fox model because she's just that gorgeous. And so she's rolling her eyes at me, but I don't care. I do not. Right? And so, check this out. I want to ask her now, if you were in a pageant right now and someone were to ask you the same thing that the unknown preacher just asked you about, what was the question that you asked her?
I asked what was her cause or anything she's a champion of, and I'm glad you followed up. Thank you. Go ahead. Because
although she can't remember, let's just, you know, let's bring it present. If you were pageant and right now, what would be your cause? What would be your cause? Think about all of the things that you've accomplished in your life.
To educate our people, to have our people know that they are, that we are special and that so many things have come from us, from the you know, that we were kings, queens, princesses, you know, back in the day, and that so many things that we have today comes from our intellect, comes from our inventing things, our patents, our language, and even today, just little things, or maybe they're big things, like for instance, in the Bible, it says a lot, there are different expressions that people use right now, like things, oh gosh, I can't remember it. There's certain biblical expressions that are in the Bible that people use right now, right in our Ebonics. I have to think about it. I remember it. I saw, I heard it from all people from the Israelites, that they use certain things that it just comes, it's been extracted out of the body. Bible, I'm sorry, my tongue is getting all thick, but it just shows you how far back our impressions are with just the general population today. And some of us don't know that. And that's what I would like to have people know who they are. The other day we had a sermon, or that I was leading a sermon. And my thing is always, for when I'm doing a sermon, I always have homework. I'm like Luna. I heard that broadcast when she was telling you about homework, and I heard you say that something about homework.
I have an MBA, Moon.
But
I don't want to do no homework, Moon.
I miss on you.
But the thing is, I always want people to look at, whenever I do a sermon, I always want the people to look at who they are, because we miss the boat. We have been lied to. We have been boozled. Don't get me to preaching, because I feel it coming on here, you know. But we have got to know who we are, how amazing we are, how we are not at the bottom. We are at the top. And that is how we have to live. You know, sometimes something will happen and Muna will say, oh, well, I was so mad. If somebody says something or does something, and she will get upset because she feels like somebody's disrespecting me. When she says things like that, I'm like, Muna, they're not, maybe they're talking, they think they're talking to me, but what they're saying means absolutely nothing to me, because I know who I am.
Amen.
You can't say something to me that is going to make me feel offended. You got to be digging real deep.
Yeah.
And I do mean deep. Deep. Because it's very hard to offend me, because of how I stand, because how I present myself, how I speak. And I speak what I feel and who I am. And that is important. And so many of our young people just don't know. They don't see how beautiful they are.
Yeah.
And it's very sad. Yeah. So there you go.
I love that. And first, kudos to Muna, because I was going to ask the question. I was going to flip it, but she spent it in spun it in a totally different way. I like that. But, you know, everything you said is just so true. There's been so many accomplishments that have been ignored, you know, for a long time. And
yes,
I think it's good for us to spotlight those accomplishments, you know. And I know that, you know, with God, there is self-esteem, if that's the right word. But through this theory of inferiority, you know what I'm talking about, right?
We
have been programmed to some extent. And so
you're
not really understanding what God said about being fearfully and wonderfully made, that you know, you weren't exposed to that. You really do need to see these accomplishments, and you need someone like yourself saying, educating them and saying, hey, this is what our people have accomplished. So I absolutely love what you just said. That's great.
Thank you.
I think if I can just interject for a moment, do not say anything, mama.
Cut it. Clip it.
Before she even opens her mouth. But a lot of recognizing who we are, just when you have an identity in Christ Jesus, you know me, I'm always going to bring it back to the spiritual aspect of things. When you have an identity in Christ Jesus, you understand that we come from royalty, and a lot of the times, especially with the history that we learn here in the systematic educational system in America, a lot of it is, it's like our history begins where we were enslaved. And so we've had to really go back and search for who we are and search for that identity. And I think that a lot of people, colored or Negroid, whatever you want to call it, Black American, Native Americans, whatever you want to call it, we've been stripped from our identity because we don't go back. A lot of us are just like, hey, look, we here, and I know great, great grandma. And after that, mm-hmm. then it is what it is. But when you really search the scriptures, mm-hmm. it's apparent who we are. It's apparent who God made us to be. And so, we do come from royalty. And, when you have God gives us what he provides for us is solidity in Christ Jesus, solidity in the fact that we are royalty, that we are, like you said, man of God, fearfully and wonderfully made, that we are God's chosen. And so when you recognize that you're royalty, you dress different, you act different, you speak so different, differently, you interact differently. Like there's everything changes, you know what I mean? And so, and then it provides a boldness and a firmness and a confidence in who you are. And so, I just wanted to interject that,
Yeah. One last thing I wanted to say too. One time I had I was giving blood. And when I went into this blood bank to give blood, there was an African woman who took my blood. Mm-hmm. And we were at the high school where I used to work. And she said, oh, I'm so glad to see you here. And I said, well, I'm glad to see you here too. And she said, we don't give blood that much. And I said, really? And she said, no. And I said, why? And she said, and we really love when Black people come in and give blood. And I said, why is that? And she said, because we're stronger. She said, our blood is purer. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things I like mm-hmm. to tell people who feel as though we're not enough. Mm-hmm. She said, Black blood is stronger. And if you've heard any of the things that are going on in Congress, RFK, Robert Kennedy Jr., mm-hmm. They were giving him a hard time because he was saying about the HIV fiasco pandemic, that they found that Black people were able to back bounce quicker, that we're stronger. There was a whole thing, and I mean all of Congress tried to jump on him when he said that, and he stuck to it. He said, check the records. It's things like that we don't see, and what they do is they bury it someplace where nobody else can see it. But he said it outright, and those are two examples of things that I repeat to people. I say it to my granddaughters. I say it to my daughter, because we need to know who we really are. If we could get that through our heads, it would make a big difference how we present ourselves.
Very much so.
That's deep. And, I give blood on a regular, and they do roll out the red carpet and treat you like a king, but I thought it was merely because it's just not enough of us giving it.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. Yeah. I appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah. When she said, I'm like, oh, okay. So that's sort of like a secret that they have, but they don't want us to know about it, and I would like to pass that on so that the listeners just know who you are. Yeah. Know who you are. We can be proud of who we are. And, you know, if you got a little Irish or a little Hawaiian or whatever, to God be the glory, because it takes a lot of things to make it. But just let's know that if you have one drop of melanin in you, you're going to be a whole lot. That's like there are 100 people and only one. No, that's not a good example. If you have 99% of bad in you and you got 1% of Christ in you, that 1% will override that 99% every single time. That's how strong we are.
You know what? What I correlate that, you know what I correlate that to when you said the 99 and the 1? The scripture says that God, that Jesus is a God of he's a God that will leave the 99 to go after and get the 1.
Amen.
You know what I mean? So you're leaving 99. You're leaving more than half. You're leaving most of to go out and get that 1.
That 1. You know, because that one without it is not complete. So there you have it. Yeah.
I love it. I remember years ago when I was in Homicide, I went to this class. This is before Ancestry.com really took off, and they talked about how we're all in this country. That's why sometimes I say racism is like the biggest form of hypocrisy, because we all have a little something in us. None of us are pure anything in this country. So it's just a long way to go, but we've accomplished a lot too. And again, people like you who've opened doors and the strength, the intestinal fortitude to say, hey, I'm gonna stand for what's right, and the courage to just, you know, defy those odds. So I just admire that.
Listen up.
Are you ready? Are you ready to play a role in changing the narrative for our Black and Brown communities? There is no better time than now for us to learn, change, uplift our communities, and forever improve our encounters with law enforcement. There will be two Know Your Rights workshops on March 15th. Both workshops are being sponsored by the one and only John Blakely of J Speaks. UM5O will conduct both workshops on how to safely interact with police and safely get home. Thomas Mentoring Leadership Academy is hosting the first workshop, which will be held from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. at the Durham Nativity School in Durham. This is located at 1004 North Mangum Street. The second Know Your Rights workshop will be hosted by Alexandra Valladares de Comunidad de Durham at Recity Network at 112 Broadway Street in Durham from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. You don't want to miss this. See you there.
Go ahead.
So we, you know, our ministry is running a half marathon in August. And so
you just
her face. Yes, and actually, man of God, you were very key in that because of the conversation, one of the conversations that we had. But you did tell me that you wanted to run a marathon as well.
We're gonna wait, what?
Okay. Now play with me. Yeah, don't play with me. Because you told me that you wanted to run a marathon. Don't play.
I said back in the day I wanted to run a marathon.
Well, back in the day was yesterday. You better get on. All right. Last week we had the conversation like a week and a half ago. So yeah, that was back in the day. But just so that you know, so we are running a marathon, a half marathon. We're gonna register as a ministry. And so I would like for you to stay on my mother about, because in our ministry, you know, she doesn't like to be considered the mother of the church, right? Because she's too cool for
it.
She
sounds so old.
She's too cool for
even though I'm 80 years old.
She's too cool for school. So she doesn't want to, you know what I'm saying? So she's not the mother. We call her the wisdom. She is the wisdom of the ministry. She's the, you know what I'm saying?
That translates old.
No, she ain't
fooling nobody.
That's experience and wisdom. But do you notice, Mimi, that Muma's always giving assignments to people.
Oh, I'm so. Oh my God, I am so sick of her. I don't know how you can stand her. Honestly, goodness. Oh,
there's always some assignment.
I know. Yo, I know.
Now you're complaining to my mother. Like,
yes.
Mom's always giving us time.
I will work on it. I will
Thank
work
you.
On it. Cause
Thank
she is,
you,
yeah, you know.
We got enough projects going on, and now she want me to run a marathon, you know?
No, excuse me.
I have to run it. No, I'll be running.
See, y'all keep on cutting me off. If you would let me talk.
Because you ain't saying nothing.
If you would let, if the both of you would let me talk, then you would understand what
you
I'm
have
saying.
The floor.
Okay, so Mr.
1 minute.
Unknown Preacher LA, I did not say that I wanted you to run a marathon. You were the one that said it. As a matter of fact, you said it on my podcast. Don't play with me.
I said it back in the day. Yeah.
That's not what you said. Well, maybe I didn't hear that part. But check this out. So what I would like for you to do, my request for you is, because my mother is always into, you know, she's, let me just tell you a little story. Very freshly married to the father of my children, we moved to Virginia. Remember that? Yeah, I'm about to tell it. Hey, right? I'm about to spill the beans. So we went away, and literally, you know, we were pregnant with my eldest at the time. And so we were gone for about like 30 days. It was like 1 month, maybe a month and a half. And then we came back up to Jersey. Mm-hmm. So when we came back to her, we moved back in with her, and we went to the refrigerator. Two things. She raided my closet, all of my clothes. She took all of my clothes and put it in her closet. So baby was looking good. Okay. She was the freshest thing out. But then we went in the refrigerator, the only two things, there was no food. I'm like, how did this lady live for the past month? There were two things in that refrigerator. Three batteries, cold cream and lipstick. One of the things that my mother taught me.
I was fine.
Yeah. One of the things that my mother taught me, you never leave the house without lipstick or earrings. Okay. Right. You never ever, ladies, we're giving you old school classical values. You never leave the house without lipstick or lip gloss, but make sure your lips look right. You gotta make sure your lips is popping. And earrings. If you have on earrings and lipstick, ladies, it will literally give you, yes, it'll give you a boost. It'll give you a facelift.
The earrings will?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Earrings, okay. and the lipstick. Or at least, you know, you don't want to come out there with the chat. You know, you don't want to do it. But you don't want to do that. You don't want chapped lips, okay? And it's cold. It's in the winter. You know, that's not a good, it's not a good look, because y'all don't see it. We got to look at that. You know what I'm saying? So care enough about us. Care about us.
I'm sorry. Bad.
Okay, I apologize. I repent. But I say also... What were you going to say?
I want to hear. You were going to say something else.
So anyway, so I say all that to say that my mother has always, as long as I've known my mother, she's always been very much into health, mm-hmm. and, you know, and taking care of yourself. And, you know, she always keeping yourself together, keeping yourself up, you know, making sure that, you know, you're led with the spirit of excellence as far as your interior and exterior. And so I say all of that to say that I would like for you to keep her accountable, because I really want her to be part of this. I want her to look into Silver Fox modeling. I look in magazines, mm-hmm. at these magazines, and I'm like, yo, there is absolutely no difference between these men and women who are beautiful and she. Have you heard of the Silver Fox? Oh, no, they're called the
there's the silk, the fox.
The men,
the
silver that
squad, those are the men, but the silver fox are the women.
Silver fox are the women. Uh-huh. Okay. All right. So yeah. So I really would like for her to be a part of that group.
So let me get this straight. So you think that Alonso is going to have this positive effect on me, that he's going to influence me to do this.
He's in law enforcement.
Because you want me to do it.
Law enforcement.
So she gave you an assignment and me among many assignments. Now
exactly.
Well, yeah, because this, and I think this will help the two of you out, because you said
in the day
you wanted to do a marathon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then so I think, because my mother is already a historical figure, the first Black Miss Garden State in 1969. I really think my mother is really beautiful. You haven't seen her in the flesh yet. Yeah. But she really, like, cameras and pictures, sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, it just doesn't make the cut. It's not until you're really in the presence of someone that you can really see the like, for instance, yeah. Case point, man of God, when I first met you, I admitted to you today that I was very uncomfortable in that place because I didn't know anybody, which is very rare for me. Because I'm, you know, a people person, and I love, you know, law enforcement is kind of like, you know, I love messing with cops. I really do, and DT and all that. But I was very, very uncomfortable. That's why when I was like, I'm going to get my food and I'm out of here. And when you walked in, it was your aura. It was your presence. I shouldn't say aura because that's a worldly term, but it was your presence, man of God.
It's anointing.
Yes. Yeah. When I saw that
she light, told me about you.
Yeah. You mm-hmm. see, I saw that light radiating off of your forehead. I was like, yo, I'm trying to sit down with this brother. See what's really good with him. Like, why are you shining, bro? Why are you shiny? That ain't no Crisco. What's up? Like,
Crisco.
That ain't Crisco. That ain't grapeseed oil for sure, you know. So I say all that to say that, you know, once you meet my mother, you know, mm-hmm. she really is truly beautiful inside Absolutely. And out. But I think.
But I'm still not in the inner circle.
You're saying you don't need validation, Mimi? Is that what you're saying? Or you just
I actually do. I'm just wondering.
I'm trying to get in somebody's group.
I'm trying to get in the club.
I'm on the
outer fringes of the club. I won't be in the club.
I hear you.
So I don't know. So I don't know if that's something that you would be interested in, man.
Of course.
Because you know he's gonna be like, well, I'm tell you what, man. My sister, tell you what, Moon, I can't, you know, I got so much on my plate. I got the podcast.
Now, I know I don't say plate like that. I do not.
You man of God, you know you be listening to these podcasts. You can't hear it, man of God. You can't hear it.
A little faint.
Mm-hmm. You know, you don't really have to put up with this. Yeah. So
she is good. Before we wrap up, I do want to say, one, I do admire the family. And I love to see you two interact. It is awesome. But I need you to tell me one Muna childhood story.
What?
One
Muna. Is this appropriate? The Unknown Preacher LA?
It absolutely is.
After all the business you've given us through this episode?
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. One Muna.
What type of story? Like,
he's talking to me. He's not talking to me. But no, put your lips together and press. Muna.
Take your time. We can come back to it as well if you want to process. That kind of puts you on the spot.
There's a lot of
stuff. I'm just going to say, I just imagine that there's just a plethora of Muna stories.
Huns, you know, first of all, she never, were you ever suspended from school? She was never suspended because she had the class acting the fool. Because she was
telling them what to do, making them do stuff. Yeah, that's her.
So that was one. You can relate. That was one thing. There's really more to this. I have to think about it, but that off the top, I remember that. And there was this teacher that used to call her Muna over Broadway.
I could see that too.
Yeah, there was just a lot of stuff that. She did that. She just fascinated people. She If she had a good day, the class had a good day. If she felt like being foolish, the class was foolish. You know, she was a big influencer, you know. And she was an influencer. I remember when I was pregnant with my son and with this child that's right next to me. I remember when I had both of them, when I was pregnant with them, I used to write letters to them before I had them.
Wow.
And I would tell them, you know, like I could feel them kicking and they were doing really well. And I did that because if I didn't make the cut, if I died or something, I wanted them to know that I always loved them when as soon as I found out I was pregnant. Anyway, when Muna was in college, she was in a group, because she never liked to go to class. She was constantly cutting classes, and God was sending me right to wherever she was, okay? I would get in my car, and I would see her somewhere where she wasn't supposed to be. Get in the car, man. Get in the car, you know? And I remember when she was in college, God used to send me over to St. Peter's. It's now a university, but it was St. Peter's College. And I remember, you know, going over. But anyway, she was in this retreat. And I had gone home this one night. She came home every single weekend. She could have stayed on campus, but much to my chagrin and consternation, she came home every weekend unless there was a big party, right? So this one weekend, I'm like, okay, great. I know she's, you know, at this she was at this
retreat.
She was at this retreat. When I went home and got in my bed, there was somebody in my bed, and I jumped a mile high, and I was screaming. And she said, "Mommy, mommy, it's me." And I said, "You're not at the retreat?" And she said, "No." I said, "Why not?" I used to get very upset with her because she would make promises to people and then she would not follow through. Every job she had, she was fired from. Every last one of them. It was like, you know how they see how your batting average, how many homework you could. She made a home run with every single job she had because she was constantly being fired. She didn't want to go in. She didn't want to complete anything. Needless to say, she had doing a whole lot better because I had
given orders but not taking them.
There you go. But I told her one day, I said, "You need to stop with these little penny ante jobs."
Oh God.
I told her, "You need to stop doing these little penny ante jobs because you should be giving orders, not taking them."
She's a boss.
She's a boss. And I'm sorry about it because now she's always trying to tell me what to do.
Yeah,
you know about it. But I was telling her that she had to create her own space and what she wanted to do, and this is where she is right now. But anyway, back to the retreat. I said to her, I said, "Muna, you didn't go." I said, "I'm so disappointed that you didn't go. There's so many great things there for you." She didn't know it, but I had called my sisters and her aunts and her uncles. Everybody sent something in to the retreat because they were supposed to read different things that people in her family said about her or friends or, you know, things like that. And they said that she had more people write in about her than anybody else that was there. And of course, she was at home in my bed. It was so bad because she's a big baby, you know. I had to get a single bed because she would insisted on sleeping in the bed with me. And I'm going to tell you this because I know she's not going to like it. And she would bring her doll, okay, when she was in college. Every time I would roll over on the bed, I felt like I was rolling over on a bag of carrots.
Wait, was that in college?
Was in college, honey. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I just put it out there.
That's great.
But anyway, what she didn't realize is I took some of the pages out of that book that I had written for her, excerpts from it, and let her know how I felt about her and stuff like that. They had read the information at the retreat, and they were just so sorry that she wasn't there because it was really a highlight. So she didn't actually read it or see it or know about it. She had no idea that I had done this. I even wrote down about the first spanking that I gave her. She was a real cute kid. She was a beautiful baby. But when they gave it to her, she was just so moved by the fact that I had been telling her how much I loved her before she even got here. So that was a highlight for us too.
I love it. And we give Muna the business, but I will say, just hearing that about the jobs and all, you can't put greatness in a box, you know? Mm-hmm. She was meant to just blossom and outgrow. She was bigger than all of that. So
that is true.
Her purpose. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Any final words, Mimi, before we wrap up? And this has been great.
The only final word that I want is to know that I'm in the club.
I was just going to say, see, I was saving that. I was going to say, guess what? You're now in the club. I had it all.
Yay! Thank you, Jesus. That was hard work. Hard work. I'm like, wait a minute.
In the club.
Okay. I'm happy.
No, this was really good. This was really good. I'm glad, you know, I learned some things about, you know, about you that I didn't know before. Like as far as the pageants and stuff. I didn't know that Auntie Jane said that to you. Yeah, I didn't know about the pageants. I didn't know about the finishing school. I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's a couple other things that of course I can't remember right now, but this was really interesting.
Well, I'm glad that
I'm glad you put
a smile on your face, didn't it?
Yeah, it definitely did. Yeah, because, you know, when I said to God bless the Unknown Preacher LA, because when I said, I want you to interview my mom, he's like, yeah, sure, I'll interview mom. I'm like, oh, he doesn't even know what he's getting himself into. my boy was...
I'm in the circle, so you can't say anything. I'm the mitochondria.
He was ready with me. I'm like, oh God, let me second think this, because you know let me think about who we talking about here. But yeah, this is
she's always signing me up.
This is really good. No, you know what? It was important for me because I know that you're very modest about, very humble about being a historical figure. But yeah, literally, you are a historical figure. You are the first of. Like, that's a huge milestone. And then also about, you know, in college and you going back to college and, you know what I mean? Like, these are milestones, you know. But I think sometimes, and Alonso, you can probably attest to this as well, we just do what we do. Amen. We're just who we are.
This episode is brought to you by the Black Farmers Hub and by Peanut and Zeb's Grocery Stores. Both serve as a platform for Black farmers and food and beverage makers, inspired by their family legacies with a mission to provide a platform for Black and Brown farmers. Support their work by visiting thesweeterjuice.com as they consistently advocate for food sovereignty and assist with alleviating food apartheid. The Black Farmers Hub and Peanut and Zeb's Grocery Stores.
We're just who we are.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Sometimes we don't know how great we are, our accomplishments, our milestones. Yeah. And so it really does. This is one of the reasons why when we're on here, I'm always trying to big, you know, the Unknown Preacher LA, I'm always trying to big him up because he's just such an amazing person.
Yeah, you are lovely. I said to Muna, you know, we had that break earlier today, and I said to Muna after we had talked, I talked with you. I said, "Wow, Muna, he's really lovely." Mm-hmm. And she said, "No, he ain't." No, she said, "Yes, he is."
Oh, God.
She said, "Yes, he is." But we were talking about how really lovely you are. You're a beautiful person.
Yeah, but you know what? It's it also, we have to, and we have to take it all the way. We always got to take it back to Jesus Christ, because really God did connect us. You know what I mean? Like the way that we met, like, I know I've said this at least 5 times, but truly, like, I was on my way out of the door. He was coming in, and it was his presence that was like, whoa, pump your brakes. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I'm just grateful that God, you know, connected us in the way that he did.
You know, I like your camaraderie together. Yeah, I like when I hear the two of you on your shows. I love the way that you flow together.
Yeah, we
have Muna is a great addition, and we get a lot of feedback.
Of course.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I'm honored. I am.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you. To God be the glory.
To God be the glory. Yeah, to God be the glory.
Because listen, you know, remember Mel. Sorry.
You got to cut her off. I have to teach you how to do that.
We'll just make this a 3-part episode, Mimi. This will be like 3 parts to it.
Yeah.
No, he knows how to cut me off. Trust me. He'll be like, yeah, so, and he's already said, yeah, so, that's his professional, nice way.
Cut off her.
Yeah. So,
you have to do, you have to do that.
Because he's a great listener. He'll just listen and listen and listen and listen and listen and listen. And then all of a sudden he'll be like, yeah, so, my boy will cut you off. Yes, he will. You will get cut. Okay. With the unknown preacher LA. Okay. He don't play that. What? He'd be timing stuff. He'd be like, yeah, so,
Okay, yeah, so, Muna.
this is about one, yeah, so, an hour and 30 minutes, right? Okay, sorry.
We try to be, you know, timely, but I do. I get a little loosey-goosey sometimes, you know. I just want to be mindful, but yeah, I don't want to do a 3-part episode, but we got enough now to make it 2 parts.
Hey,
yeah,
okay. So
we're good. We're really good. So, I asked Mimi for any final thoughts. Did Muna, you have anything you want to say too before? I mean, I'm going to give it back. Huh?
God forbid I say anything. No, I have nothing to say.
I'm staring her down.
I want Mom to get the final word. I want.
Yeah. Or you.
God is good. I'm just happy that I did this. My daughter and I, we've always been, since she was a little girl, we were always best friends. I used to tell her sometimes, like, okay, who should lead? Because I'm the adult and you're the child. But I always considered, in a way, like a best friend, you know? And so we still tend to be a lot like that. One of the things that keep us, our relationship so amazing is, you know, God is at the center of it all. And, you know, with her daughters and, you know, the 4 of us all together, five, counting myself. But it's all about God. It's all about living the life that God has given us and the best that we can do it in a godly and righteous way. Amen. And I'm so glad to be here. And my daughter really is very proud of me. She always says wonderful things about me. And she always wants me on the bandwagon. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that. I just wish you weren't so bossy, but that's just what it is. Oh, Lord.
Mommy, don't say that.
You're bossy. Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh, she's so bossy. But she brings me, she gives me good stuff. She brings me good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, she does.
She tells me how to run the show. And
of course she does.
I do know.
When I listen, it usually pays off. No, she does. She's a natural born leader. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I really, I'm telling you, I enjoyed the conversation. And,
me too.
Just you sharing during that era, you know, and so like I'm this big TV buff, and you were talking about, I'm thinking about like Sanford and Son being the first family sitcom on black African American family sitcom on television, and you know, during that era,
it was Diana Carroll.
Yeah, I knew you were going Julia. Yeah, but Julia. I think it, they, you know how you try to find a way to say first, because she, it wasn't like a family show. She was like the first black. And mm-hmm. then Saffron and Son was like the first black family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, yeah. But and I kind of like, Julia was okay. It wasn't, Saffron and Son is just one of my favorite shows. I'm not even gonna lie to you, but
it's raw.
It's raw, especially back then, you know, okay. just the genius of Red Fox, then,
yes.
you know, the timing of his lines and all. So, and I'm like a big, like, I know every episode by heart. I could tell you from the front and back. And it was before my time, but I just love Sanford and Son.
I can tell you, one even before that, Amos and Andy. Do you remember that?
I have seen that. So my stepfather turned me on to that when I was in high school. He said, "You ever heard of Amos and Annie?" I said, "No." And he showed me these videos, and he said that, you know, it was this big push to ban them. So it's hard. Try to find them now. You won't. But it was comedy. Yeah. What you said, Mona? I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, I was just saying, wow, I didn't know that you can't find them now. That's interesting.
I had a whole collection of them.
Yeah. Do you still have them?
No, I threw them out. A certain young lady, when we moved here, made me throw all my good stuff out.
That sounds like Miss Bossy. Yeah.
You got it.
Miss Bossy, okay. Man, you know we had to throw that stuff out.
We had to.
Nah, it ain't. Yeah, what are you gonna play it on nowadays? You know,
you can have those things. Yeah, no, but you can have transfer them.
It, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do you transfer it to now? So, like, I had a VHS DVD player, but even the DVD players are obsolete. What would you put it on? Like a thumb drive?
No, there are different. People who can change it back into the VHSs, or they can make it into a CD or a DVD.
Yeah, that's what I'm like. I have like a VHS DVD combo, I can do that. But DVDs are about obsolete now too, though.
They are.
It's crazy. Yeah. So what are people watching? Is everything just streamed or whatever?
Yeah, it's streamed. Oh, I mean, you're out of luck. You can't just get the DVDs in. I mean, there's still some, but they're just not making them like they used to.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I had all these television series on DVD, and now I mean, they're, because you can't find players, so I've like purchased like them in the library in the cloud. So I have like a lot of TV shows on my my Amazon library. So yeah, it's crazy.
Mr. Netflix over there.
I'm everything. I'm Amazon, Hulu. I like TV sitcoms. I'm just like, really, I could tell you so much about them, you know. But
what's that one? Wait a minute. What's that one that what you talking about, Willis?
Oh, he's my Different Strokes.
Ah, Different Strokes. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Gary Coleman. Yeah. See, I used to try to grow an afro. I could never grow one. It only could get as high as Gary Coleman's back in the day. So
really, I don't remember his. Yeah. Wait, then that wasn't too high then.
That's my point.
Oh, okay. Now, what did he have that why he didn't grow? What ailment did he have?
I don't know the name of the disease. I can't remember, but I know it affected his kidneys. I remember that.
Wow.
But yeah, he was like really paid to be a child by the time he was 12 and 13, and then his parents like took all his money. Parents and attorney. So.
Oh no! Really?
Yeah. It's a pretty interesting story there.
Wow. That happened to a couple of people in Hollywood, though. Was it the Olsen twins as well?
Yeah, I think I have heard that. I don't know all the details about the Olsen twins, but yeah, I think I have heard bits and pieces of it. But, you know, and they have laws in place because of things like that occurred in the 60s on sitcoms where child actors had to, you had to put money away where you just couldn't touch it, only mm-hmm. under certain circumstances. And I, and Gary Coleman parents and their attorneys were able to justify pulling money out of his, and I'm assuming it's kind of like a 401k for kids is the best way to describe it, but yeah. they found a way to get access to that. And so, you know, just sad. But Amos and Andy, man, that was just hilarious. It was just, you know what it reminded me of? The Honeymooners kind of, and I don't know which came first, yeah. but it was like, it seemed like the Honeymooners were kind of taken from them, or they were or vice versa. I don't know, but
because
what was the guy's name? Kingfish or something like that.
Kingfish.
Yeah.
Amos and Andy. Calhoun. Remember Calhoun, the lawyer?
Yeah.
Wait. I have one more question because my mother's over here. Like, let him close the show. Okay, so because I'll be
because she's trying to take over. I'm trying to save you. Run while you can. Close it. Close it.
No, but I
hurry up, hurry up. Okay, that's all I'm gonna say. Bye.
I have one more question for you, Mr. Movie Buff. Do you remember Blackula?
I do remember Blackula.
Did we talk about this the other day, or was it
we
you?
Did. No, we did.
We were talking about this the other day. Do you remember the plot of Blackula?
I saw that so long ago. I remember the actor. I can't remember his name, though, if I see him, but I don't remember.
Remember his name either.
Yeah, because he's been in a. Say it again.
Do you remember the storyline?
I don't. But you now, remember, I said TV buff, but I did watch. I'm into movies too, but yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But yeah. No, but I do remember Blackula. I just don't remember the plot though. What was the plot?
He was in love with the woman, and he did not want to make her a vampire. So the whole movie, they had this amazing love, you know, romance.
Wow,
so wonderful, and he was willing to, you know, he was willing to not bite her or, you know, bring her to die. He loved her so much. And at the very end, somebody shot her. They were trying to shoot him and they shot her instead. Somehow she was fatally wounded. And so he bit her because he couldn't live without her. And when he bit her, somehow she died. He wasn't able to bring her back.
Wow. I don't remember any of that.
And he was so in love that it was daytime. He mm-hmm. just went and walked up the stairs and opened he was in a building that had a rooftop and mm-hmm. just went up on the rooftop and melted into nothing because he could not live without her, you know? And I'm a romantic. I love romance, so I just love the reason behind the story. You know, it was a great love story.
We're gonna have another episode where you said you love romance. We're gonna talk about some movies and get your take. But I don't remember that plot. Now, do you remember Cooley High?
No,
Cooley High. I remember Cooley High, but I've never. Is that a movie?
It is. It was the inspiration behind What's Happening. You remember that?
What?
Rerun, Roger, DeWayne.
Was Tyra Banks in that one, Cooley High?
Mm-mm. It's way before Tyra Banks. This was like 1975.
Oh, my God.
It was your boy who played, what's his name, Glenn Thurman? Is it Thurman or Thurman? From Different World? He was
yes. The kind of the fat guy. He was chubby.
Mm-mm. The colonel, the one who was, he was skinny. Mm. He was the math teacher on Different World.
Wow, no.
Yeah, do you remember What's Happening? With Rerun? Yeah,
I do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it was, so Cooley High inspired that movie, but you two should check out Cooley High. I'm telling you.
Was it a comedy? What is it about, though?
It was about these kids, their senior year in high school, just living their life, doing reckless stuff. And I think we all can relate when you're a senior and you see the real world approaching and the anxiety mm-hmm. of what you're going to do. And, you know, just kind of just a movie about a bunch of little things kids doing. And it just... It's a powerful movie. It's one of those movies on the list that like everyone has seen. It's a great, a really good movie.
Okay, well, we're gonna have to see that.
Yeah, I can't wait. So we can talk about it. But I know it was around that same time with Blackula and JD's Revenge and whatever was going on. I'm trying to think of 70s movies around that era. Not the black exploitation ones, but the ones that were more story-based. Yeah, like, yeah. What'd you say?
The kung fu ones.
Oh, yeah, like Black Belt Jones.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Was that the black guy who had the afro?
Yes, yes.
Oh, my gosh. I love that. Wait, he was dark-skinned, right?
No. Uh-uh. Wow. Yeah.
But there was another one that was dark. I think that was probably closer to the 80s, 90s. You know what I'm talking about?
I don't know. Are you talking about The Last Dragon, maybe?
Oh, I think so. He's dark-skinned.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a little darker than your boy on Black. Now, Petey Wheatstraw.
That sounds good.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest black, Rudy Ray Moore, that's a huge black exploitation film that we don't even need to be talking about on this Christian station, so I'm going to stop talking. But yeah, it just that era, man, with all those movies, just, but yeah, we've gone. But yeah, so any final, this is for real this time, I'm sorry, Mimi, any final?
After 8 times.
I know, right?
You give us the final.
Yeah, I'm just happy to have been able to do this with you, and also with you, Muna.
Thank you.
Great to do this with you, and this is a bonus for me this day. You know, I'll be happy for the rest of the week. Thank you.
I love it. So I'll just say in closing, man, it's been an honor to really have a real discussion with you instead of me and Muna going at it and you're in the background trying to help me out because you see me, you know, drowning from the oppression that she's putting on. No, I'm just
kidding. I told you to run.
I love giving her the business, man. What you said, Moon?
I said, you're going to have to repent.
Yeah, I know. I'll do it.
You're out here playing games, man.
Hey, this was worth it, man. I'll repent for this. It felt good to, you know, throw it out. There, so. No, I'm just playing. But it has been an honor. Until we come on again, we're going to talk about some romance, old school movie. No, y'all, you two. Now, I'm giving the assignment. Check out Cooley High. Okay. And then we'll talk about that.
Cooley High, you got it.
What you said, Mona?
Is that a romance movie?
No, it's not. Yeah, I can't describe. It's just one of those movies. You can't put it in a category.
I told you that we love foreign films.
Muna. Okay,
well, we're going to carve time out for a domestic film this time. Then we can get to a foreign film next.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
I'll just mess
it's
with
your
you.
World. It's your world. That's fine. We'll watch Cooley.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Hey, but in closing, man, God bless you, Mimi. Thank you for joining me, Muna. And we look forward to the next time around.
Okay.
Opportunity.
Yes. Love you.
Love you too. Don't forget to follow the Unknown Preacher LA podcast. We're on all podcast platforms.
It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown Preacher.